For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Generally, it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed amongst the devotees only, for those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is and Bhagavad Gita as it is should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Bhagavad Gita as it is will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That this message of Bhagavad Gita is not meant only for Arjuna is clear from this verse and from the next verse. Nachatasman manushyeshu kaschin me priyakritamaha bhavitanachame tasmad anyaf priyataro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized this preaching. Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, speak the instructions of Krishna. The instructions of Krishna are principally Bhagavad Gita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the most munificent avatar, Mahavadanya avatar, expanded what Krishna stated here. Krishna says here that this Bhagavad Gita should be spoken among the devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it should be spoken among everyone. That doesn't cancel Krishna's instruction just prior to this that Bhagavad Gita should not be spoken to the envious. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very anxious that Krishna consciousness be imparted to everyone and that everyone become devotees. And our own Srila Prabhupada and his Gurudev, they emphasized this so much. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was against Nirjan Bhajan for those who are not fully advanced devotees. Hare Krishna. Nirjan Bhajan means sitting alone and chanting. Now that sounds like a very good idea, doesn't it? That you should just go away from all the Jana Janjal. You know, that means no. It means the pandemonium of being among all so many different people and just sit peacefully and chant Hare Krishna. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, go among the people and preach Krishna consciousness. There was a well-known incident in which two of Srila Prabhupada's sannyasi's disciples were in the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. And the pujari said that you're seeing the deity with such great devotion that as a result of this, in your next life, you will also be born in India and you can worship the deity as we are doing. So the sannyasis, they went back to ISKCON's Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan and told this to Srila Prabhupada, who was there. And Prabhupada said, you can go back and tell him, that pujari, that as a result of his being a good pujari, he can take birth in the Western countries in the next life and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. In other words, Prabhupada clearly gave more importance to preaching than worshipping the deity. Now, how can we understand this? The pujari is all the time with the Lord, dressing him, cleaning him, praying to him. And the preacher is always mixing with non-devotees. And the pujari born in Vrindavan has been living a very pure life all his life. Whereas those from the Western countries, they before meeting Prabhupada, their previous life is something we shouldn't talk about too much in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. What do you think, Gauranga? Your life before coming to ISKCON, it's good to discuss in the class.
Gauranga Prabhu, நீங்க ISKCON க்கு வரதுக்கு முன்னாடி இருந்த வாழ்க்கையை இந்த மாதிரி வகுப்புகள்ல விவாதிக்கிறதுக்கு நீங்க விரும்புறீங்களா?
We can discuss your life after coming to ISKCON in the class. How you're engaged morning till night in serving the Lord, very pure life. But better we don't discuss our lives before we came to Krishna consciousness.
சிறந்தது என்ன அப்படினா கிருஷ்ண பக்தியை வர்றதுக்கு முன்னாடி நம்மளுடைய வாழ்க்கை எப்படி இருந்தது அப்படிங்கறதை விவாதிக்காம இருக்கிறது.
Little bit we can do just to show the contrast that how Prabhupada has saved us. Well, the difference between before and after is quite pronounced. I always used to see in the newspapers in the Western countries, now you see in the newspapers in India also, photos before and after. Before, big fat woman. Afterwards, not very fat. Before, bald man. After, lots of hair on his head. Ours is round the other way. That before lots of hair on the head and afterwards bald. And actually it's often also very thin, and then after coming and taking prasadam, they become fatter. Ramakunda. Very fat. Shouldn't be too fat. So there's a great difference between the life before and after.
Yeah.
And that's why preaching is stressed so much, because it's an act of mercy to uplift the fallen conditioned soul. Not very easy. Therefore, those who engage in this, they get the most mercy from the Lord. Krishna says here that those who engage in such preaching, they are the most dear to me. Well, we always heard that the gopis are the dearest devotees, isn't it? The gopis are the best devotees. Ramya kachid dupasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. According to Sri Chaitanya Matamidam, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is that the best mode of worship of Krishna is that of the Vrindavan gopis. But then again, there's a very famous verse spoken by the gopis themselves. Tavakatam ritam taptajivanam kaviviriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvigrinantiye bhuridajanaha. Who are the bhuridajana? Who are the very Bhuvigranti, those who spread the glories of Krishna, in the gopis' estimation, they are the best. Because topics of Krishna, they are amrita, they bring the dead people back to life. Those who are spiritually dead come to life by hearing topics. Those who are burning in the fire of material existence get relief from hearing topics of Krishna. This is recommended by all great learned persons. Hearing about Krishna removes all the distresses of material life. Simply to hear about Krishna is most auspicious in the most auspicious sense, and makes one's life fully blessed. So those who spread the topics of Krishna, they are, in the gopis' estimation, the best. So who's the best? Krishna says the preachers are, and others say the gopis are. Of course, Krishna says also that the gopis are his own dearest devotees. And then the gopis again say that the preachers are the best. Well, the gopis are also preachers. They come again with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach Krishna consciousness. So preaching is given paramount importance. So everyone should try to assist in this preaching movement and become purified. We may say, well, in our movement we also do deity worship. But that deity worship in our movement is also part of the preaching. The idea is that in our temples, the deity worship is done so nicely that everyone becomes attracted to come and have darshan of the Lord. It's also necessary for the devotees as part of our personal sadhana. To have darshan of the Lord, to offer all our activities to the Lord in the form of the deity. Deity worship is something wrong. It is the most archanam, is the most exalted activity. But so this statement that preaching is more important than archan doesn't mean that archan is not important. But it stresses the great importance of preaching Krishna consciousness. That archan may benefit oneself, but preaching benefits both oneself and others. So the conclusion is that we should try to preach Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness. What does preaching mean? It means to try to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So to do that, we have to try to make an impression upon people. We have to convince them to do something which they're not doing now. We have to try to influence them. So how do we do that? Well, when we talk about preaching, we generally, when we think of speaking, isn't it? That's the basic activity in preaching. Although, as I was saying, deity worship is in our movement is also important part of preaching. All the activities in this movement are meant for preaching. But speaking is the activity that is required. People will come and see the deity. That's very good. But unless we speak to people, then their mind isn't going to change. We stress so much the distribution, or Srila Prabhupada stressed so much the distribution of his books, which is an extension of Srila Prabhupada speaking. But then even to get people to take Prabhupada's books, we have to speak to them. So not just speak, it's not just a machine. You would have a robot standing there saying, take a book, take a book. But that wouldn't have much effect, except people would come and look at the robot. But to get people to take one of Prabhupada's books, you have to speak to them, you have to see what is the mentality of the individual person, speak to them accordingly, maybe smile at them, speak in a manner that is designed to make them convinced that, yes, I should buy this book. So in many ways, selling Prabhupada's books, there goes a man selling something door to door. He's selling blankets for the winter. Of course, I don't think they have much techniques. He'll just go around shouting blanket. They didn't read the books on salesmanship. In the Western countries, it's a highly developed art on how to get people to buy something which they weren't thinking of buying. And a lot. It mostly depends on the personality of the salesman, how he deals with people, what he says, and all this kind of thing. Maybe our devotees, they should study sales techniques so they can sell more books. When we think of preaching also, we think of formal preaching, giving speeches. So you can also take courses on public speaking. Many things. You have to keep eye contact. I shouldn't do it with the ladies. Don't speak in a monotone. Sometimes speak loudly, quickly, and sometimes speak a little slowly. Tell a few jokes now and then. So there are so many techniques. Actually, if you see Prabhupada's lectures, most of the time he sat with his eyes closed. He broke the rule, important rule. So there's no need for devotees to study all these techniques. You can do if you like, but we don't recommend it. The main thing in preaching is, because preaching is kirtan, one must perform shravan very nicely, first of all. Prabhupada said, because I've heard very nicely, therefore I can speak very nicely. What does that speaking nicely mean? Probably if you surveyed according to the standards of the public speaking academy, maybe Prabhupada wasn't such a nice speaker. He should have probably, when he came to America, studied the how to pronounce English properly, first of all, in a way that the American people could understand. And he should have studied English grammar, But Prabhupada didn't do that. Krishna consciousness. He could have introduced Krishna consciousness in a way that would have been more palatable to the American people. Prabhupada said that when I was thinking when I was coming to America, that when I asked them that you follow no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication, they will say to me, Swamiji, you please get back on that boat and go back to India. That means that Prabhupada, from the very beginning, he knew what he had to speak, and he had no intention, he never even thought about compromising that for the sake of the American people. Could say that, well, maybe he could have just introduced the chanting alone, without principles, without so much philosophy. Although it's true that in the beginning, Prabhupada was in many ways very liberal with his first disciples, but he never compromised on the regulative principles. He never compromised on the philosophy. Practically from the first day he was there, he was fighting with all Mayavadis. So you may say, well, that wasn't very... You should have just emphasized the good things. But Prabhupada didn't want to cheat the public like that. By failing to point out all the defects, all of the cheaters, then we give them tacit approval. That means tacit approval?
Indirect.
It's like that, yeah. Yesterday I received a letter, a godbrother sent me. It was a copy of a letter he'd sent to a Western follower of this so-called Ravi Shankar. The real Ravi Shankar is very good. Ravi means the sun, and Shankar, that name is usually associated with Lord Shiva. It means one who makes auspiciousness. But this so-called guru is not spreading light, he's spreading darkness and inauspiciousness. So in his letter, this godbrother of mine, he just cut that person to pieces. All the nonsense and the hypocrisy and the bogus philosophy. And then he copied me another letter also that his another godbrother of ours wrote and said, well, you know, you could have been more understanding. But in response, the first godbrother wrote that, well, if Prabhupada was here, he would have definitely been very, very heavy on that rascal. Wouldn't have tolerated. So it's the duty of preachers to present the truth as it is. That is the meaning of preaching. Now, anything else is not preaching Krishna consciousness. Now, there may be various attractions offered to people to make them interested in Krishna consciousness. But unless very soon after becoming attracted, they're not given Krishna Upadesh, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us to preach, then we're not preaching Krishna consciousness. Preaching means one who has heard nicely, he can speak nicely. Now, often, you see, because preaching means to interact with people, so we might think that someone who's very flamboyant and extrovert and gregarious, you don't know what all these words mean. Flamboyant means someone who kind of bounces into a room and like this. As soon as he enters the room, everyone immediately knows. He doesn't enter very quietly. Just, you know, it's even without saying anything, people are, oh! A very outgoing personality. Or a showman. There's no translation. Showman means showbottle. Showman means fake. Showbottle means it's a fake. So, such persons with that kind of flamboyant personality, they may be able to make an impression on others. In the 20th century, if we think of someone who was able to attract many people to his cause and by his brilliant speaking, we can think probably the most successful was one not very gentleman called Adolf Hitler. In the 20th century, the person who was able to convert most people to his cause by his speaking abilities was one not very gentle man called Adolf Hitler. Even now the film clips of him speaking are famous. Have you seen? I think everyone in the Western world has seen. He had some tremendous shakti, and the whole scene was arranged to make, you know, he's standing on the podium with the big reverse swastika, and it just creates a big impression on people when they come in. So to some extent, devotees, they may adopt similar techniques. Just like, for instance, the speaker sitting on a big seat. The big seat is meant to give respect to the message, to the book. That's why I don't like to sit above the book. Recently we were in Patiala in Punjab. And after the lecture, the Sikhs, they worship Guru Granth Sahib, they're book worshippers. He said that when I came in, before you came in, I saw that the seat was arranged higher than the book, but then you came in and removed the seat, so then I became, and you sat below the book, therefore I sat and listened to your lecture. That's incidentally why I'm also holding this Bhagavad Gita all through the lecture, because I said so many times, please don't put me above the book, but you insist on doing so. So I'm holding it in my hand. So anyway, we may make some technique to promote that the speaker is very important. But then he should speak the message which is important. He should speak Bhagavad Gita as it is. That preaching is also, that can increase the popularity of the speaker. Preacher might think, all right, let me become popular and then people will listen to the message and they'll get the benefit. But then if we're always thinking, yeah, let me become popular, and then they'll get the benefit, then we start to think that, well, because I'm popular, because people are praising me, therefore they're getting benefit. Forgetting that the role of a genuine preacher is that of a peon. He is only to carry the message. That the message is important, not the peon. Krishna is important, not the speaker, not the medium. Now in Vaishnav understanding, the speaker is important. Why am I saying he's not important? He is important because he's speaking the message of Krishna. Therefore he's important. Therefore he should be given all respect. But if he starts to become interested in popularity or thinks that I myself am very important, then he loses his importance. So-called Ravi Shankar become very popular. But such popularity, what is the use? So preaching means to deliver the message of Krishna. That message is transmitted when the speaker speaks the message of Krishna purely. It means he must speak the message of Krishna. Politics or history or ecology or science. A devotee may speak on these topics to people who are interested in such things, but he must bring the subject round to the topic of Krishna. What was that? Someone was saying that my daughter is in the beauty contest. So she's asking the devotees, you vote, and then because she's a Hare Krishna devotee, it's preaching, because people say Hare Krishna devotee won the beauty contest. Well, that's one kind of preaching, I suppose. But if the beauty queen went out and distributed Prabhupada's books, that would be a lot better preaching. And if she acted as a chaste woman and preached that this showing off the body is uncivilized, preaching what we are taught by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, that to act against our principles in the name of preaching is not preaching. So preaching means to deliver the message purely, with no desire for personal gain. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would refuse to accept donations after any program or after any speech. He would say, go to the temple, put it there. Because he wanted to discourage so many people who speak and then people give them donations and they maintain their sense gratificatory family lives in that way. Because if you're thinking that, well, If I speak too clearly, then people may not give so much donation. Then you can't benefit others. You're just thinking, you're speaking the message of Krishna so that you can get some money from them. That becomes your motive, and it becomes watered down, and it becomes cheating. Actually, in the modern age, if you have rich supporters, you can become popular. This person I was speaking of, this so-called Ravi Shankar, and in North India there's this Asharam Bappa. They were not very well known until recently. They both came up in the last 10 years or so. Some rich supporters promoted them. Wherever they go, there'll be big, all over the town there'll be photos of them. Here we see also this Nityanand Swami and this and that. So by promoting them, they create some interest. People think, oh, something important. And if they have a good show, then people come back again. So it becomes something like a circus. You advertise it, and then there's an entertaining act, and this way it becomes popular. So in promoting Krishna consciousness, we may also do such things, put posters around the town, and then. But we have to be very, very careful not to become more interested in popularity than in delivering the message of Krishna as it is. That so many people surrendered their lives to Srila Prabhupada. In my case and in the case of so many others, it was almost instant. It was, you know, just immediately, as soon as we came in contact with the devotees. Now, I didn't understand, it wasn't that from the very beginning I understood all the philosophy. And then also I'd been to several groups previous, and I went to them one time, and I don't think any of them I went to more than one time. And why you go to so many groups, you reject, and you come to this one, and one time immediately say, yes, this is it. How? Well, one major reason is you can understand these people are genuine. They're not making a show. They're not speaking in riddles. I don't know the word. Sorry, I don't know Tamil. Like this Ravi Shankar, how many avatars have you taken? He said, I don't know, I didn't count them. Someone who's a little bit sincere can immediately understand that this person is not sincere. Whereas Prabhupada always said, I am not God. I am the servant of God, you are also the servant of God. Even in the early days, some of Prabhupada's early followers in America, who were influenced by Mayavad philosophy, they said that they started promoting that actually Srila Prabhupada is God. Prabhupada responded to that. Oh yes, that is very nice. Now you have understood. No, not at all. He threw them out of ISKCON. He rejected them. So we can understand this person is genuine. This is actual selflessness. So what is the qualification to be a preacher? One might by nature be somewhat withdrawn and introverted. That is not at all a disqualification. Qualification is that one should sincerely wish to represent the parampara, should identify himself as a servant of the acharyas who are presenting Krishna. And one symptom of such a devotee is that he is very careful to understand what the acharyas are teaching. Over intelligent to think that I can invent something new to improve what the acharyas have given. He's a servant of the acharyas and of the siddhanta. But one who is a servant of his senses is disqualified as a preacher. To the extent that one is thinking of one's own sense gratification, to that extent one is disqualified as a preacher. So a preacher should very carefully hear, then he can chant nicely. Of course, any way that someone preaches, even if it's maturely motivated, that some benefit will come through. But if we compare the message of Shastra to a very bright light bulb, then the person who's speaking it with his own personal motive, he's like the low wattage or the low voltage, so the full power doesn't come through. Preacher's duty is simply to take the light of Shastra and shine it so that people can see the truth as it is. There's no question of inventing the truth. It's just like the sun, when it rises in the morning, it doesn't create all the trees and the different... They're already there, but we can't see due to the darkness. But when the sun rises, then we can see. So the preacher's duty is to bring the spotlight of Shastra to reveal the truth. But if he turns on the spotlight and then stands in front of him and says, "Hey, look at me, I'm here." Instead of showing, "Here is Krishna," he wants to show, "Here is myself," then he becomes a cheater. So what is effective preaching? Effective preaching means to awaken people's consciousness of Krishna and connect them with Krishna. But effective preaching is not necessarily equivalent to collecting many people. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that even at the expense of all my mutts, if I could make one pure devotee, I would think my mission successful. Of course, if you can bring thousands of people to pure devotional service, that's even better. But bringing one person to actual Krishna consciousness is far more valuable than bringing thousands of people to some kind of watered down so-called Krishna consciousness. Even bringing people to some kind of watered down Krishna consciousness is better than being Hitler. At the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one upper sampradaya was prominent in Bengal and Orissa, who promoted the chanting of the holy names, but they promoted the chanting of some invented mantra, Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham, etc. So you could say, well, they did some good because many people took up the chanting of the holy names and they promoted a general sense of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's good. But then by promoting that one should do kirtan, chant the names of Krishna, chant the names of Lord Chaitanya, but teaching to do it in a manner which is Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhin Vina, not according to the Shastric method, then it is Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpate Yaiva Kalpate. It is a disturbance in the practice of genuine, unmotivated devotional service. So it's good in one sense, but on the other hand, it creates obstacles to one's development of genuine devotional service. It's like someone's drowning in the sea and you catch them so they don't drown. So preaching means to, effective preaching means to communicate genuine Krishna consciousness. So how can we know ultimately what is effective preaching? Well, ultimately Krishna will say that are these people genuinely coming to Krishna consciousness or not. Krishna sees our hearts. If our motive is only to follow the acharyas as their humble servant, and on that basis try to spread Krishna consciousness, then people who will come through our efforts, they will also imbibe that. But if we are superficial, then we will attract superficial people. And their light, cheap approach, they will think this is Krishna consciousness. Just 3 days ago we were celebrating the disappearance of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was a Bhajanandi Vaishnava of the highest order. Bhajanandi means one who doesn't go out in the world and attempt to preach, but is just performs his own bhajan. Whereas a Goshtyanandi is a preacher. But we shouldn't think, well, I'm a better preacher than Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. We can never be preachers of... Our preaching is incomparable to his preaching. Even though he didn't go among the people to preach. Whatever he did and whatever he said is the highest preaching. He delivered the whole world. Even though so many people, they were anxious to have Siddhanta Saraswati as their disciple. But he wasn't attracted to them because he was staunch advocate of the truth. Yeah. He only wanted that which was genuine. And he could see through all these people who were trying to attract him to become their disciple just so that they could increase their own prestige. That's why he was shocked when he came to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and asked for initiation, and Babaji Maharaj wasn't even interested. Don't bother me. Then he realized that although he considered himself an advocate of truth, the truth that Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj had was on such a superlative level compared to what he knew as the truth, that he Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur realized that what I considered the truth, that was not the truth at all. I have to learn the truth from him. The truth of Krishna consciousness is so high, so vast, that why should we desire to present anything else? But then we see that people in general are on such a miserably low level, and we think, well, how can we communicate it? We should have faith in the standard process given by Shastra and the Acharyas. Knowing that, however covered the consciousness of a jiva may be, his actual dharma, his actual swarup, is of Krishna consciousness. So Shravan, Kirtan, that can communicate directly to the soul, going through all layers of ahankar, kam, krodh, lobh, ityadi. That was Prabhupada's faith as he came to America. He wrote that, how can we convince these people who are just... When he landed in America, he saw what is the condition. So how these people are covered by rajagun, tamagun. How can we communicate the message to them? Then he quoted, what did he quote? Srinvatang swakata Krishna. Srinvatang swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtan. Or the verse is beginning. That by regularly hearing the Bhagavat message, they will become purified. That Krishna, who is within everyone's heart, he will purify if we do our duty of speaking the message of Krishna. So there really is no alternative to preaching but to amplify, to turn on and amplify the message of Krishna as given in Shastra, especially Gita and Bhagavatam. We may introduce different techniques, but those techniques are only to bring people to the core activities of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasam, Sakyam, Atna Nivedanam. And Shravan means particularly Shravan of the Gita and Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is the preacher's duty to do Kirtan of Gita and Bhagavatam. We may say, well, you know, we're preaching and it's based on that. We're talking about psychology or this, that, the other, but it's based on Bhagavatam. Well, it should not only be based on Bhagavatam, but it should, very quickly, it should bring people to understand that we have to hear directly from Bhagavatam and not from someone, not from someone's rehashing of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada translated these books and he instituted daily study of these Shastras among his followers. So it's not that we can just rewrite it in our own way and say, well, it's easier for the people nowadays and then the Shastra is just left. That's just for the intellectuals. We have to stick closely to Shastra and see what Shastra says as given to us by the Acharyas. There is no substitute for Shastra. Or may say, well, we have to make it simple for people nowadays. Well, it already is simplified. Stri Shudra Dvijabandhunam. Women, the fallen or the low class people and the fallen so-called members of Brahmin families who are all Trayina Veda Gochara. They're not eligible for studying the arcane message of the original Vedas. So we should have faith in Shastra and study Shastra as given to us by Prabhupada. Otherwise we become like this, you know, these bogus gurus. There are so many of them. They speak a little bit, they throw in a few words from Shastra here and there, but basically it's their own ideas. So many people I've spoken with in India all these years, I tell them, look, your guru is bogus. He's not following Shastra. And you tell them, but no, he's bogus because he's not following Shastra. And they get all upset, they become angry, or they go away, or they start crying or something. The guru, what he says is more important than Shastra, or that is Shastra. So I'm very, very grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he is a genuine guru and he gave me the genuine message of Shastra without adulteration. As Uddhava teaches us in Bhagavatam, we should be very, very grateful to Krishna for sending us a genuine guru who doesn't cheat us by speaking all bogus things. So the legitimacy of a preacher is that he presents the message of Shastra without any hocus pocus. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
Some set of people who have been searching for the truth.
Some group. Really, where are they?
Searching for the real.
Where?
Or some friend circle, they discuss something and they keep searching, going to this ashram, that ashram.
It's searching. If you're sincere, Krishna will quickly lead you to the actual thing. Say loudly. Someone came to Prabhupada and said, I'm searching for the truth. Prabhupada said, why don't you find it? If we're actually sincere, then Krishna in our hearts will lead us to the actual truth. Some people, they like to make a show of being very spiritual, that we're searching for the truth. But they're not actually sincere to find it. They're just advertising themselves as spiritual. Another time, someone said to Prabhupada that, Swamiji, it's very difficult to find a genuine guru. Prabhupada said, why? I'm a genuine guru. So Prabhupada could present himself as that because he was genuinely presenting the message of Shastra and the Acharyas. So you gave yours, this people, Bhagavad Gita as it is?
We just talk to them, they get stuck here and there, and when we call them, they are not very...
They're not sincere.
No. And how should we should handle them?
What can you do? They're not interested. They're just cheaters. They're cheating themselves and others. Same as everyone else, give them prasadam, invite them to programs, give them Prabhupada's books. But we need not give them any more special attention than any other bogus, hypocritical people, of whom there are so many in the world.
Guru Maharaj, sometimes we request just newly joined people to start preaching. So many times we hear excuse, I'm not qualified for Prabhupada. We ask them to list your books and to speak to whoever to meet.
We're asking new people to preach. Well, that can be dangerous also. There should be some level of qualification. I wouldn't send people out the first day distributing books, which is what we used to do actually in our movement. But it's better that they have faith that if you say that they are up to the minimal level required for going out and distributing books, they should have faith in that. Just ask them to become a humble servant and take Prabhupada's books and distribute them. That depends on their sincerity also. They're all, yeah.
Sometimes, like, the message of Shastra is pure. There's so, how is it, this Shabda Praman goes to the others. So, at the same time, we also hear, like, purity is the force. So,
the message is pure. That example I was given, that the bulb has the full capacity, but then if we don't have the full power to carry it, then it becomes weakened. If we don't have pure copper, then the electricity doesn't come through with the full force. So the message is pure, but our impurity may obstruct that. It gets mixed up with our own personal desires, which we see many times. In the name of preaching, one can try to spread his own domination, seduce women, make good bank balance for himself, advertise oneself as an avatar or a paramahamsa just by advertisement. Hare Krishna.